Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
What's up, Rick?
Nothing here, man.
Yeah, nothing there?
Nothing.
We had a nice little bounce with Bitcoin today, huh?
Yep.
Looks like, so I'm looking here. So far, for the week, we're looking at a 8.47% increase. I think it was something like 7% for the day. And what was it? Last night, I thought we were going to tank back down again, too, because we had broken the trend line that we were in. We fell out of it, and then we went back up. And I think there was like something like, what was the exact number? It was something like 50 million in shorts were wiped out. It was probably more than that. I'm probably off. I need to look at that and see. But I was wondering what the catalyst was, because I was driving today. You know, what happened as to why? Because it seemed like 40,000 was hard, and right now we're sitting at 41,433. So, and I don't know if that means the dip's over or if we still got more to go. But I mean, that's good to see us back in that 40,000 range at least.
No, it definitely is. I mean, who knows if it's going to last? But you know, the past week or so, it's just been nothing but sideways. It wasn't really. It didn't want to find a spot. But it wasn't even coming close to 40,000 or 41,000. So,
yeah,
that's kind of interesting.
For sure. For sure, for sure. And then what we saw, Facebook had a lackluster earnings report after they've been trying to kind of reconfigure themselves and turn into Meta.
Yep. Trying to become Meta. And then I don't remember how many billions of dollars they basically lost in market share from their 20% cut. Insane.
I want to see what it said here. Meta's shares had declined more than 26% on Thursday, reducing its market value by more than $230 billion. After its total user base declined for the first time.
I'm not surprised, though.
Well, and I guess I'm from what I understand, they're having issues with Apple's new privacy features because it doesn't allow them to collect the data the way that they do or the way they had in the past.
Yeah. So that's already going to take off a lot off of Facebook's. I mean, that's how they make their money. They make their money off of you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Stealing your information. I mean, I guess I can't say stealing. They know, everybody know, should know at this point what they're doing with it. They're selling it.
Yep. Well, the thing is if you're not paying for the service, then you are, you know, the service or that you're what they're monetizing, right?
Yeah. Yep. And they said it was a big impact of it was because of Apple's new privacy features and the growth of TikTok, which is another one. TikTok's another one that I think is kind of scary with that privacy aspect of it.
Oh, it's even scarier.
Yeah.
They track your facial, they do the facial recognition stuff, and I don't know. Well, that's the thing though too with Facebook. I mean, I don't get on there much, and really the people that I know that get on it the most are, you know, they're Gen Xers and boomers.
Yeah.
Some millennials, but any younger than that, you know, they're onto something else, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, when like my mom, for example, is on Facebook a lot. And when you see that kind of trend going on, I mean, and it's every once in a while I get on there just to kind of see what family and stuff is doing. But I spend most of the time on Twitter and stock. Amazon stock. I apologize. I'm pretty fatigued. Amazon stock is up more than 12% trading today. They added $170 billion in market valuation to bring the total valuation of the company to $1.58 trillion.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy, man? We're seeing trillion-dollar companies nowadays.
Yes.
I want to say Apple was first. That first one that had that happen to them. But, yeah, it's nuts. But, it, I mean, I think I was pretty excited. I mean, just I checked, I think I was north of Cuba, and I finally checked the Bitcoin price because I hadn't checked it all day. And then I saw we were at 40, at the time we were at 40,600. I had already seen that we'd hit a high of 41.8 or 41.7 at that time. I was like, wow, I don't know what happened there, but that's some good news. Good news. I don't expect it to last. I mean, we either going to have a retest or maybe we're just going to keep on grinding up, man. It's been how many months now of just negative, like just dumpiness?
Well, basically we hit our high, what, November?
Yeah, I think so.
So basically 3 months of just kind of meh.
Yeah. Yeah, just drop, sideways, yeah. Drop, either. Sideways, drop.
Yeah. So meh is actually on the better end of the spectrum that we've been seeing lately.
Yeah, trading sideways, I'd say, is meh. Trading sideways and dropping is just like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know how you rate that.
I don't know. You know, I've been watching some videos with this one trader named Gareth Soloway, and he was actually thinking that that Bitcoin might even go down to 20,000.
I've heard that from a lot of different people. I think that's way too much of a buying opportunity, especially when we saw, I mean, when we were talking about, I think the last episode, the guy that was buying up, you know, like 100 Bitcoin every couple hours or so, whatever that, and I can't remember exactly what that figure was, but when you see that much buying going on and there's not that much Bitcoin still out there, because we've talked about that before too, because we said, I think in the last episode, if everybody that currently is buying Bitcoin just increased their holdings by 27%, there would be nothing left.
Yeah.
I think if we went down and if we did go down that far, it would be like a wick, right? Because I think there would be too much buying pressure.
Well, part of me was thinking that his whole thought process is that the economy was dying. And the one thing that's showing against that is the jobs report that just came out, gaining 400,000 jobs, which was kind of unexpected.
Everybody saw that coming. But I mean, that also gives credence to if we saw that kind of a jobs report for January, and then I saw something on there too that we were just looking at where they revised the job report for December, where they put in 510,000 jobs for December, then that means more than likely that we will probably see a rate hike from the Fed. I mean, because they're gonna sit there and say that the interest rates are, you know, the economy's strong. It's a strong economy.
It's a robust economy.
It's a robust. We've had the best earnings since 1985, or the best growth. I don't know what the heck they're gonna say.
Highest inflation since 1970, but whatever.
look, we're not gonna, you know, let's not confuse the facts here.
You're comparing apples to oranges, my friend.
That's a different time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The one thing, though, I mentioned this earlier before we started, that Omicron has been kind of a blessing. Just the fact that it's running through everybody.
Yeah.
And its symptoms are extremely mild. My drummer got it, and he's not the healthiest fella, let's just say that. But he had it. It was basically a mild cold, and he was back to work in a few days. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Whatever I had, that kicked my ass. I mean, at least for 9 or 10 days.
You probably had Delta.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Actually, the funny thing is I was sick with COVID when they announced the Omicron variant.
I had an employee
that definitely didn't have that.
That got it right around the same time that you did. And he got Delta. He didn't get the Omicron variant. His was pretty hardcore. He had the fatigue and all that jazz the whole time, so fun stuff. It's better if it burns through everybody in a way, you know.
Well, it's better if it's a mild burning through everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Delta was like scorched earth. This is just a mild sunburn.
That's a good metaphor. That works.
Thank you.
Thank you. What do you think our outlook is? Where do you think we're going to go? Do you think we're going to go down? Do you think we're going to go up?
You know, it's so crazy right now. I really don't know. I mean, I'm just going to guess. I'm going to say it's going to be kind of sideways. It's going to bounce around between 45 and 40, maybe even dip below 38 or to 38. That's my guess, because it's just, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to get a break above 44,000 in order for us to kind of start to regain some of that momentum we had before. I think that's where a lot of analysts are actually saying that that's where, like, I mean, that's where we start to go back into bullish type scenarios, right? Is if we can get it back above like the 44,000 mark, it's going to be a hell of a grind to get there. There was also some, there's a lot of rumors right now about Russia. And I know they talked about that they're going to regulate Bitcoin. And Max Keiser keeps on going off the handle saying that they're going to legalize it, make it legal tender just to get throw a jab back at the NATO and all the... oh, my brain's not working. What are they putting on?
Well, basically, the NATO, that's basically who they're putting up a fight against, right, with Ukraine and that whole situation.
Yeah, and then what is it where you can't... They're putting liens or holds on your money or... What are they? I can't think right now. My head's not working. What's it called?
Putting liens on your money?
Well, yeah, like the government does it all the time to other countries and stuff like that. They'll be like, oh, you cannot do this.
They're free. Oh, economic sanctions and
yeah,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The sanctions. There we go. That's what I was trying to think of. They're talking about legalizing, making Bitcoin legal tender. And I don't know where he's getting his info from. I mean, there was a lot of stuff we talked about that last time, too, where Putin was basically saying that they have an incentive if they do mine, a greater incentive because of their electricity costs. So,
yep. Well, they're abundant with energy, so.
Yeah, oil's probably going to go to over $120 a barrel. And then, yeah, if they do that with the legal tender thing, I just have a hard time that we will be able to sit back and do nothing. Biden, I think,
yeah.
Actually, last time we talked, Biden talked about he's going to have an executive order to put together a council to basically research Bitcoin. As much as they want to make it sound like doom and gloom, he's going to put together an economic council basically to research Bitcoin as a matter of national security.
Yep. Well, I think it's kind of an interesting thought with that is, I mean, if they start regulating stuff, though, there's a thought that if it becomes more accepted and more people get involved with it after it becomes regulated, you know, that could actually be a good thing for the price of Bitcoin.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, you would have to be naive to think if, and even regardless of whatever you may feel one way or the other, I don't know how they would do it. I mean, regulations are going to have to come. That's the only way you get like the big institutional players. That's basically the only way you get acceptance is regulation. Because regulation is not the same as banning.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, regulations are going to come, and it is probably going to be a very good thing at that point because they'll be able to have a level playing field.
Yeah. Well, when regulations do come, it's going to be at the exchanges, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really the only place. The only place that they can really regulate Bitcoin is on the basically the on-ramps, right? And that's what those exchanges are. Unless you're mining at home on your own. But then they may have something where you have to register saying that you are mining. Who knows? But that'll be kind of interesting. And that's the other thing that they would have to do is if there are going to be some type of regulations, it's going to have to be a global network to work on the regulations. Because you can so bypass everything in the United States, especially with, you know, with VPNs and stuff like that. You don't have to buy on exchanges in the States. Where you don't have to mess with KYC or anything else. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of a, but that's also, I mean, if they globally make a global network of auditors or whatever you want to call it, that watch over that, then that's even more acceptance globally for it. I don't know, but it could be scary too, but I think the only way they can stop it is they can only regulate it at the exchanges, like you said.
Well, there's one other thing I want to point out. We kind of mentioned it, that there's some tensions heating up with Russia and Ukraine. Depending on which direction that goes, I don't think it's going to get crazy, but you don't know. I mean, sometimes the world's just full of crazy people. And I mean, if something crazy pops off there, that could be a black swan event that, you know, throws all of the markets into chaos.
Very well could. And you know what else is kind of, I don't want to go too tinfoil-y hatty with it, But I saw a report, I think it was last night, where they were talking about false flag. Russia was trying to pull some false flag stuff. But at the same time, they had nothing to back the evidence in the State Department on our side.
Yeah. So did you see that interview with the reporter basically
he's like, calling him out? What are you talking about? Yeah, he's like, where's your evidence? Well, this is the evidence. Like, no, that's not the evidence. Like, where is your evidence? I was like, just, it gives me, you know, Iraq 2.0 all over again, you know?
Well, no, that's exactly what that's what the reporter said. That's what I said on the other podcast. You know, I don't believe anybody when it comes to those agencies because, you know, they've lied to us before. I mean, brazenly. And then, you know, 20 years later, we know that there was no such things as WMDs in Iraq. But
weapons of mass destruction.
But that was the lie. And that's even what the reporter threw back at that the military spokesperson.
Yeah.
You know, or he was a part of the Defense Department or
I'm not sure what branch he was actually from because I only caught that one snippet. It did not fill me with a lot of trust, especially when as soon as he got questioned about it, he's like, well, this is what we have. And he's like, well, you have nothing. Like, what's your evidence?
That gives me hope, though. The fact that the press actually pushed back on that, they are lapdogs for just any war. That's how they've been basically my whole lifetime. So the fact that they've even pushed back is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe America's just sick of that stuff. Who knows?
I tell you what, though, if it's been kind of a rough presidency for Biden. Let's not mince words. It's been pretty damn rough, actually. But if he's like thinking he's going to turn this ship around by starting a war with somebody, I don't think that's going to work anymore.
No, I don't think they're going to buy it. And honestly, I think Putin would be the one to be like, you guys are lying. And I don't know if they'd air it or not, but I'm sure we'd find out. Somebody would put up something about him because Putin is the one that I believe would totally be like, nope, I didn't do that. You guys are making it up.
Exactly.
I mean, as much as he may be a dictator, totalitarian ruler, whatever, he's pretty straightforward about his views.
He's brutally honest.
Yeah, totally.
And when you actually listen to his interviews, he sounds pretty intelligent and he talks a lot of shit, but you know, the crap he says is justified. So,
yep. I agree. I agree.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a crazy little while. I don't know which direction it's going to go. What do you think?
I think you were right because we talked about this before too. You said prices were not going to really move in a positive direction until February. Here we are, February. I do think we'll see a green candle this month. I do think we'll end up on the higher end. Like I said, I mean, up to me, like right now, I would love to see us get to that 44,000. If we get to 44,000 and we can grind past it and say get into 45, then I think we can get back up to 50, no problem. However, if we get rejected at 44, then more than likely we're probably going to go back down to like 32,000, 33,000. We'll get slammed back down, I'm sure.
Yeah, and if I had to guess, I'd say that's probably the more likely path right now, in my opinion, just with how everything's crazy. But, you know, it could take off. So I'm open to that, too. I would say it's 60-40 that it goes down versus up this month, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, if we get a retest off 33 and we come back up, that may give us clearance to keep on going higher again. Who knows? Nobody knows where it's going. All I know is there's very limited supply left. More than likely, we're probably going to have some more Latin American countries announce that they're going to embrace Bitcoin as legal tender. We're waiting to see, I think, what El Salvador's bond, Volcano's bond, if they get oversold. I mean, that's going to be a big indicator there. If Turkey ends up following through with what they're doing with their economic investigation right now, I think there's a good chance we're going to see some fireworks this year.
I agree. You know, I hope so.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, but you know, Michael Saylor, he's just freaking buying more Bitcoin. So he might be the wealthiest bastard in the whole world when it's all said and done.
That'll you be funny. I mean? Like, I mean, he may be the very first. If he becomes the first trillionaire because of Bitcoin, that'll be something else.
Well, that would get in Peter Schiff's craw pretty bad.
Yeah, it would. Yes, it would. You got anything else you wanted to add tonight?
I think I'm done.
Me too. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can follow us at the BitByte Pod on Twitter. You can email us at contact@thebitbytepodcast.com. You can always subscribe to us. We've got a Discord channel, and of course, we should be on all your favorite platforms. But that's it, man. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Latest.